Welcome back to the Gravel Notes podcast. I'm Martin Lee, talking to your man Tom Howard as he brings us a full review of a brilliant weekend of action, a weekend of attrition, a weekend of dust and sand as Cali Rovanpera enhanced his World Rally Championship title credentials with victory at what can only be described as a grueling safari rally, Kenya. As Toyota locked out the top four positions, and plenty to talk about on the podcast today, including that 1-2-3-4 by Toyota as Rovanpera led the field home ahead of Evans, Katsuta and Ogier in those four Toyotas. We had incidents, we had accidents, we had reliability, we had obviously the animals to worry about, and so much more as well. So let's get into it. Tom, you're back in the hotel right now, and but reflecting on the past 4 days of when you have been out on the savannah and even up in the air, we'll get to that a little bit later. Just an amazing event to cover for the rest of us watching and listening along.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible experience. There's no question about that. This will live long in my memory. Definitely been doing this job for 16 years. This is in my top five career moments, I think, in terms of experiences. Yeah, extraordinary country and an extraordinary event, really. The people are so friendly and lovely. It was an eye-opening experience. There's no hiding that. But I feel better for actually going and seeing it for myself.
And you haven't been feeling 100%. You were knocked a little bit sideways, but they looked after you and you've been surviving on fluids. But you're feeling okay, a little bit better now?
I think it's sort of inevitable in some ways. You know, when you're going to a country like this, no disrespect, but we're probably not quite used to some of the foods and stuff over here. But yeah, a fair few people did feel a little bit unwell, but we were all patched up and given new roll cages, and we were away again. It was fine. Look, as I said, it didn't detract from the experience at all. It was an amazing place to go and see a rally, and as I said, feeling a lot better now, but as I said, the drivers, some of them actually felt a little bit unwell. Cali Rovanpera himself on Saturday said he wasn't feeling too great, lacking a bit of energy, but he still managed to win the rally. So if he can do it, then everyone can get through it.
Let's hear from him now. You caught up with him after another great win. And you started off by saying you're not feeling too well, checking he's okay. And he gets on to talking about why this was his toughest win. Have a listen to this.
How challenging was it? Because you said you felt quite sick yesterday. Like, what was wrong with you?
I don't know. I just midday had some feeling that I didn't have any energy and stuff. I heard that quite many guys in the service part had the same. So yeah, it's always coming to a country like this. You can have some issues, but it was good that today I felt a bit better.
You said on TV that this is your toughest ever win. Why was that?
I think just overall how much you need to even concentrate and manage to stay moving on the press and stuff. Like, you have so many different situations where normally you don't need to take care. Normally you need to take care of driving fast. Here you have to manage to get through.
So once again, highlighting his greatness, a third win from starting first on the road, and we're starting to run out of things to say about just how special this driver is.
Yeah, no, it's almost the perfect season, isn't it, really? I mean, he's just dominating. I think this win, definitely, I agree with him, this is definitely the toughest. This rally was easily be the toughest of the season. It was much harder than last year's Safari Rally. The sand, the fesh sand, it's not easy to say, is very deep, and the roads were a lot rougher. The organisers wanted to make it tougher. That was the interesting factor from last year. They felt that it wasn't hard enough. Well, it was definitely difficult this time around, and as only six cars of the 12 Rally Ones actually reached the full distance. So it was really brutal at times, very attritional. But again, Cali Rovanpera has this knack of just seeing to sort of skip away from trouble and just get through without any difficulties. And the key to this victory was on Saturday, where the rain came down, which turned all that dusty sand that people were getting lost in to mud and extremely slippery. But he just cantered away from Evans to put himself into a very, very handy position going into Sunday. And basically, Elfin, there's no way he could really come back from that. 40 seconds is a big ask, but Cali wasn't complacent because, as we saw, anything can happen here. Is numerous retirements and penalties and reliability issues. And, you know, it was you could write a book on it, really. There was so much to say. The interesting thing about Cali was in the wet there, he actually sort of credited some of the work he's been doing in drifting events that actually helped him. He feels like some of the throttle techniques he was using in drifting events that he does for fun actually helped him, give him an edge in the wet, which is quite an interesting factor. So, yeah, he's an incredible driver, and I think it's if not when he gets this title sewn up.
A couple of questions. How did the organisers make it tougher this year? Anything specific they did to make it harder than last year? And also, you mentioned this on the preview podcast last week, but starting first on the road amplifies how special that win is again. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that and tell us, you know, how he's able to do that at seemingly a disadvantage to all the others that come behind him?
Yeah, I guess firstly, the route for this year's rally, a third of it was different compared to last year. So it's quite a significant amount that had changed. But the roads were just rougher. They were just a lot rougher, and there was a lot more of this sand. And this is the sand that really, it's a killer, because it can get in the engine. As you'll see some unbelievable images of the cars sort of, you can barely see the car because there's so much sand coming over it or whatever. And once that sand gets into the engine, that's it. It's gone. To the point where the co-drivers were carrying extra air filters with them so that if the car's cut out, they could just go out, change the air filter, get all the sand out of it and put a new one in. So they keep the cars going. So it was an interesting situation from that point. But yeah, interestingly with the road position for Cali, obviously that was always going to be very difficult, not knowing what he was going to be facing, because of course the teams are not allowed to test for this event. So when they come in, they're pretty blind and they're just running off last year's information. He may have got a little bit of advantage from starting first, because it got sort of rougher as every pass happened. So you could argue that maybe the conditions actually favoured him slightly. But having that sort of pressure of going in first, I still think that's harder. I still think that's harder than having to go through a stage that's slightly a bit rougher after people have gone through, because you can at least see the lines that people have taken. This is a very special win. Like, the Safari Rally is one of the toughest motorsport events around. So to have got your name on that list that includes people like Colin McRae, Tommy Mäkinen, Juha Kankkunen, Carlos Sainz, these are legends that have conquered this event. So to have done that, that's an amazing achievement. And I'm sure he'll look back on this fondly when he retires.
After missing out on a podium in Sardinia, Toyota scored a 1-2-3-4. So Rovanperä, Evans, Katsuta and Ogier. First time Toyota have done that in the WRC since the Safari Rally, actually, in 1993. That's when Kankkunen was winning the Drivers' Championship and they were racing the Celicas, the Toyota Celicas. Very distinctive car with the pop-up headlights, etc. But and a real achievement, and I like you say, a race of attrition.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary achievement, and it just goes to show how bulletproof this GR Yaris they've built for this year is, and the work that's gone in to make sure that it's bulletproof. I think the only real problems they had was Ogier had some sand in his airbox, and that sort of stopped him a little bit, and Elfin had some windscreen wiper issues, but that was literally all they had, whereas Hyundai had and M-Sport both suffered greatly to sort of broken steering arms, power steering problems, alternator failures, engine failures. There was all sorts going on with those two teams. So it really did highlight just how good a job Toyota has done with this car. So they should deserve all the credit for this victory and this 1-2-3-4, because that's an incredible achievement. And as Jari Matti Latvala said, that, you know, this does not happen very often. It's very rare. The last time it happened was 29 years ago. So, like, it's an extraordinary achievement, and they should really be proud of it.
You caught up with Evans at the end of the rally, and here's what he had to say.
It's been a really tough event. Can you sum it up for us?
I think, like, realistically, if you'd have said you could have a podium at the start of the rally, then I think anybody would have probably gone okay then, you know, after seeing the recce. But obviously, as the event went on, and obviously we were close to the lead, then obviously that's the goal then, you know. And of course now the second place doesn't feel so so fantastic on one hand, but then on the flip side of that is the team result and you know, the performance of the team, actually, you know, to not only be fast but super reliable as well.
So a smile on his face, a smile in his voice, as well as we are used to seeing and hearing. He was, you know, sounded pretty happy, not with the win. But I think just to, you know, to get that podium position again is really important for his season. Let's talk a little bit about those reliability issues. What happened with Tanak and a gear lever snapping?
You couldn't really predict this one. I mean, he was driving along, serenely, and the gear lever literally just snaps in his hands. Like, he's got nothing to change gear with. So he slowed down for about 30 seconds trying to work out, well, what can I do? Found a little solution that got him just to the end of that stage. And then his quick thinking on the road section, he found a wheel brace in the back of the car and Jubilee clipped it to the remains of the whatever there was on the gear lever. And he was able to change gear using a wheel brace, where you could see that was easy. It was quite an amusing situation, but not for him, obviously, because... that is not what you want at all, but incredible ingenuity to sort of build that together and get himself to the service park so that he could have it fixed properly. Yeah, I've got to take my hat off to that. That was impressive to get that done. But yeah, he even said, I've never experienced that in my career. That is something new for me. So Hyundai actually beefed up their gear levers after that to make sure that didn't happen again. But again, a very peculiar situation.
And Neuville, as you mentioned, alternator, rain, tree. That sums up where it all went wrong. What happened there? Firstly, with the alternator problem.
You just feel sorry for Thierry. He tries so hard and he works so hard, but everything sort of conspires against him. It's, he was running in sort of fifth, in a decent run. He lost sort of almost a minute in on Friday due to sand in the engine again, which sort of reduced his power. But if you lose a minute here, that's nothing. Like that. I mean, we're talking like sometimes we're separated by multiple minutes positions here, so it's not a massive problem. But anyway, heading into Saturday, an alternator failed, which is something that happened in Croatia. So he knew how to fix this one.
Right.
So he was able to fix that up on the road section, got going again. But then the rain hit and he entered a quite deep puddle and that's flooded the engine and that's cut the engine out for 4 minutes. It was obviously hugely frustrating. So he's dropping down the order. Manages to coax it back to life somehow. And then 200 metres later, he slides into a tree and that's the end of his rally for that day. So it never rains when it pours. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, and Solberg had some issues as well. But, you know, he made it to the finish without retiring. So just one of those just difficult events.
Yeah, it was an extremely difficult event for Hyundai. It just highlighted the weaknesses of the car. And we'll get on to M Sport as well, because it wasn't just them.
Yeah.
But Thierry did come home with a bit of glory, won the power stage on Sunday to get the bonus points and got at least salvaged something from his weekend to show that, you know, the pace was there, but the car is just too fragile at this point in time.
Yeah.
But Oliver, yes, he was brilliant, actually. Didn't retire at once at all during the rally, despite several difficulties. He managed to get this car to the finish and bag some points as well. So he had probably one of the quotes of the rally, actually. When the rain came down, he sort of moved into an Elfyn Evans speck of driving, which was very hunched over the wheel, trying to peer through and see where all the puddles were. And during, while driving, he's even said to his co-driver, "This is proper rallying." And it really was. So, and he ended the stage and he was so happy. He was like, "That was amazing. That's one of the coolest experiences of my life." And I was like, "That, I mean, that just says it. That sums up Oliver Solberg. He's just so happy to be a rally driver."
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Let's talk a little bit about M Sport. You've mentioned them already then. So let's get into them then. All four M Sport cars at one point retired. Engine failure, Loeb. Greensmith rolled, had to kick out the windscreen. Carried on with goggles. That's insane. We'll talk about that. Formeaux retired twice, and Breen would retire once but rejoin to finish sixth. Let's start with Gus then, if that's all right then. So, rolled, marshals available to help, car was green. Why wouldn't they touch the car?
He was actually running in fourth and going really, really well when he got a right rear puncture, and instead of not stopping and changing it and losing 2 minutes, he tried to carry on. He didn't think he got a puncture. He tried to carry on. It completely destroyed the back of the car and the wheel, which meant that when he did eventually stop to change the wheel, it took him 13 minutes rather than two. And that sort of destroyed his really strong start. Because I have to say, he was going very, very well early on. But then on Saturday, he came into a slow right-hander, just got caught in one of these ruts, and it just tipped the car into a roll, very slow roll, nothing too spectacular, and it ended up, the car actually sort of ended up on its side, and he and co-driver Jonas Andersen were unable to get out, they were trapped in the car for 3 minutes, even though marshals were there, and they were quite quite keen to get out of this car because, yeah, as we saw in Croatia with Oliver Solberg, that the exhaust can catch light to these cars when they have accidents like this. And you can have a fire break out quite easily. And they were worried about that. So they were trying to, get them attract attention. There was a green light on the car, significant, to say that it was safe to touch because of the hybrid technology. But for some reason, there was an investigation that concluded that the marshal should have helped, but we don't know the reason why they didn't. They didn't help. So Gus had to kick the windscreen out, and they crawled out the front of this car. And there's a video on social media which shows that. And he's clearly, clearly angry with the marshals and was not happy about the situation at all. But anyway, they righted the car, and it had some damage to the front of the and to the engine's cooling, which ultimately put it out of the event. But they got it to the end of the stage with the pair wearing some goggles. It was a sort of a Mad Max moment, I suppose. And they were running around without a windscreen, just goggles on, and 100 miles an hour. So
that is rally driver's point. So when you say goggles, like if anyone's picturing, I don't know, some swim goggles or 1950s Grand Prix goggles, no, it's like the full face ski goggle, if you like. So yeah, it's like goggles, but it's like like one single piece of glass over your kind of your eyes, that kind of thing. But still, like, that's absolutely bonkers form of motorsport that no one quite
understands.
That's rallying, right? No one understands these guys, but that's what it's like. MotoGP riders, like, no one really understands them.
Gus actually said he quite enjoyed it with the goggles on.
Might do it again.
But he said, I shouldn't be saying this, but I actually quite enjoyed wearing the goggles. But he said it was quite difficult to breathe when they were going at 100 miles an hour.
Jeepers. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about some success in WRC3, the first woman to win a WRC support class since 1994. She's Kenyan. How do I say her surname? It's Maxine
Wahome,
there we go. I want to make sure I get that right and be respectful. A wonderful piece of history being won.
Yeah, it was a great story. And again, it highlighted perhaps the importance of the Safari Rally to Kenya and to African motorsport as a platform for African drivers to shine on the world stage, because obviously it is challenging for them to get the opportunities, and this is the only, at this point in time, the only world championship event that visits Africa. So, you know, they don't have the opportunities that, you know, Europeans and Americans have. And so, yeah, it was a lovely story and quite a remarkable effort, I have to say, because she's a 26-year-old teacher in Kenya. She did motocross for 11 years. But her father was into rallying, and she pestered him and said, can I have a go at it? And last year, her dad agreed, and she was driving a Subaru around, made her debut at this event last year. And then in a brand new car, the first time she sat in it was on Thursday. And she only won the WRC 3 category, which had an all-Kenyan podium, but also, interestingly, a driver that has been regularly driving this car, so knew it a lot better than she did, and she managed to win the event. So she now wants to try and do some rounds in Europe, which is really nice to hear, and there was a lot of support for her here sort of commercially as well. So it was a really lovely story, and I have to say that, you know, to be the first woman to win a WRC 3 event and the first woman to win a WRC support class since 1994, it's a good news story for WRC.
And just to finish off talking about the local or the Kenyan support for this event, you flashed up the newspaper before we started recording, and you were like, look at this coverage. I mean, it really has been a huge, huge moment.
Yeah, this is more than a rally to Kenya and to the locals here. This is deeply ingrained in their culture. This event's been going since 1953, and for them, it's like sort of the FA Cup final or the Grand National. Like, this is their biggest sporting event of the year. Like, there is nothing else that's bigger than this. So they all look forward to it, and they come out in their thousands, like, you know, talking to a few of the locals. They book their holidays well in advance to make sure that they're here for 4 days, and it's just one big party. Like, and I can tell you that because we didn't get a lot of sleep in the hotel because it was very, very noisy. So yeah, it's one big giant party, and they just love it. As I said, their faces light up when the rally cars go past. They're just so enthusiastic about it. And the media coverage here, it's wall to wall. Like, the newspaper here, the national newspaper's got a 10-page pullout. It's on the front page. Like, it's on the TV channels. It's everywhere. Like, it is. And as a president himself said at the address on Thursday, you know, last year's rally brought in £41 million to the economy for Kenya. So it's a hugely significant event from a financial situation as well. So this is more than a rally.
And finally, a couple of things that we've touched on, that how much we can talk about on this on the podcast, but I'm sure regular listeners will want an update. Did you or not get up in the WRC helicopter over the weekend?
Yes, we did. We did go out to two of the Saturday morning stages. So this was the first time I've seen the WRC cars this year in full flight on a stage. So it was quite a moment, because I haven't had the opportunity to do that. It's very difficult when you need to write all your reports and be close to the media centre. So if you've got a helicopter that can take you there, it's quicker. So yeah, it was very handy. Quite an interesting story, actually. We landed one of the spots in the middle of the Kenya savannah with, you know, giraffes and zebras and water buffalo sort of all, you know, around and everything. And we bumped into Ari Vatanen, who was spectating. So we ended up standing for, you know, a good hour with Ari Vatanen and his wife watching the rally cars come through. So yeah, it was quite a unique experience. So, extraordinary. I mean, yeah, probably a once in a lifetime thing you get to do. But yeah, what a chance to see these drivers tackle these roads, because they really were, you know, on the limit. And it's incredibly impressive when you get to see it in the flesh.
And so I'm sure you got some video from that. I'm sure you had the GoPros rolling that we look forward to see at some point. You've also been, which we haven't really talked about on the podcast yet either, you've also been filming some other stuff which will involve you being inside a car. Can we talk about that yet, or is it still top secret?
No, we could talk about it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know, but, you know. So, I mean, didn't talk about it before because it was still TBC. And you don't want to jinx these things. But over the weekend, you filmed the first part of a video series with Toyota. Just explain what you're going to be doing.
So we're going to have a go at trying to be a co-driver, which is obviously a hugely difficult job and challenging job, having to read pace notes for the drivers to give them accurate information of the road ahead. And also, you know, provide all the time cards and all the other organizational skills that are required to get rally cars from from point A to point B and back. Mm. I won't be doing all of that. I will just be having a go at trying to do one stage, one test stage in a Toyota Rally 1 car. We are planning to sit with Takamoto Katsuta, and we're planning to try and get through a stage by giving him pace notes on a stage. So,
wow.
It's a big ask. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, but I'm going to give it a go. So we'll see. So I have my first lesson from Juho Hanahan, who is a former Toyota World Rally driver and also has co-driven with Jari Matti Latvala, the Toyota team boss. Yep. So he has seen it from both sides of the fence. So he knows what how to make pace notes and also how to receive pace notes. So it was an interesting chat, and that will hopefully bring that to you at some point soon. But yes, I've got given my first pace notes book. It's all blank, ready for notes to be filled into it. And so the lessons start now.
We wish you all the best, all the safest in your learning. Let's hope no windscreens need to be kicked out or goggles need to be worn. But but there we go. Brilliant. Thank you so much, as always, for updating us on your Gravel Notes podcast. You can follow Tom's adventures at Tommy Howard. And a bit of a break now, isn't there, between now and Rally Estonia. So we've got a couple of weeks to wait until July 14th. So, yeah, a couple of just sort of 2.5 weeks, really, 2 and a bit before Estonia. Then we head off to Finland, Ypres, Greece, New Zealand, Spain, and Japan as well. Well, thank you very much for listening to the podcast today. Make sure you check out all of our coverage on autosport.com and motorsport.com as well. And if you know somebody who would love to listen to this podcast, we'd appreciate if you sent them a link or shared it with them, if they'd get some enjoyment out of subscribing and listening. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.